How had he missed the fact that He-Man was a junkie willing to do anything for his next fix? But of course, Richter already knew. As powerful as his own gifts and capabilities were, he was not invulnerable. He-Man's own abilities had let the man play him like a fiddle. Richter's own trusting nature had indeed worked against him, but the fault didn't just lay in his poor judgment. The other Chaos Seed had powerful gifts of his own. Would every member of his race try to kill him? Would they all be so powerful? He-Man continued his story, unaware of Richter's internal thoughts. "I was sloppy that first time," he admitted. He said it as if he was man enough to own up to his mistakes. "You already know I was taken captive by the Gnolls, and that I got them to trust me. What I haven't told you yet is that a few days later, my abilities let me take over the tribe completely. After that, life was a lot easier," he added with a laugh. "Every day I spent with the Gnolls deepened my hold over them. I was safe, protected, and since the Gnolls had a bunch of captives, I wasn't short on companionship." The joy in his voice just deepened the hate Richter felt for him. "Let me tell you, those women were willing to do anything. The Gnolls had a tendency to eat captives they didn't like. You wouldn't believe what an aphrodisiac that was. Dick or the stew pot? Wasn't too hard of a choice for most of them." He leaned in and whispered conspiratorially to Richter, "Have you ever fucked a high elf in the ass while her husband watched? I still don't know what I found more exciting, her tears or his." He shivered again, and Richter's hatred for him grew even deeper. "While those diversions were fun, none of that came even close to comparing to my first Chaos Seed. I had already been leading the Gnolls for a few weeks, and the captives had pretty much wised up to the deal by that point. If they did what I wanted, I wouldn't pick them to be the Gnolls' dinner that night. Basically, if they let me into their tummies, I'd keep them out of the Gnolls' tummies." He chuckled to himself before continuing. "One day, though, the Gnolls brought in a new herd of slaves." He said the word casualty with no inflection whatsoever. "And there was this cute little thing. Blonde, nice perky tits, and tall. Woo! I was never into tree trunks back on Earth, but since being cursed with this half-gnome DNA, let's just say you can call me a lumberjack. I had the Gnolls pull her out of her cage and told her what the deal was. Can you believe that bitch said she would rather die than give me just a little bit of pleasure? I mean," he said, shaking his head like he had had no other choice, "I had to do it after that. I just couldn't allow her to challenge me like that in front of the slaves, could I?" He stopped talking for a moment and looked off into the distance. When he spoke again, it was with the measured pace of someone trying to paint a picture in his audience's mind. "I had the Gnolls crush both of her ankles. Little tip, if you ever want to get a stubborn whore into doggy style, that does the trick. They tied her to a pole, and I got to have my fun. Seeing as how she had said she wanted to die, though, I decided to grant her request." He leaned so close that Richter felt the man's breath on his cheek. His next horrific words were a breathy caress. "I didn't just let her die quickly. I let all the Gnolls have a turn after I was done. Believe you me, those jackal-headed monsters aren't exactly gentle when they get all riled up. It's just a guess, mind you, because I like to get a little sleep after I bestow my love. But I think she died while the 12th one was still inside her." He-Man shrugged. "I told them not to use their claws too much, but, like I already told you, they love the scent of fresh blood. The good news was, the rest of the tribe still got a turn. Gnolls didn't let a little thing like life and death stand between them and a good time." He waved a hand in the air, as if none of that was important, just the build-up to his next point. He-Man smiled as he relived the experience. "Believe me, there is no better way to wake up than to have chaos points pouring into you. I had no idea what was happening, but I loved it. Before I could even stand up, though, I got a prompt telling me I had killed my first Chaos Seed, and that I'd been awarded the one chaos point she had. I had no idea what chaos points were for, and I didn't care. That shit felt so good. I was just lucky that I still got credit for the kill even though I didn't finish her off myself. Don't think I would have gotten the points otherwise, he shrugged. It was probably because I'm the one who gave the order for her to be raped to death. My luck stat was only 10 at that point, but I guess it was working overdrive that day. After I came down off my high, I realized what had happened and what I had to do next. I had already lived through my own rebirths, so I knew she would probably respawn somewhere near wherever the gnolls had found her before. I immediately sent a squad of warriors to look for her. He-Man laughed in delight. I cannot tell you how happy I was to see her only a day later. She wasn't nearly as happy to see me. It hurt my feelings a bit, but that's women, right? I'm a little ashamed to say it, but I was so ready for another fix that I beat her to death right then and there. The hit was even better that time. The piddly single point she'd given me before had felt good, but oh, God, the three she gave me that time was like every orgasm I'd ever had all at once. This time, the gnolls knew exactly where to go when I sent them out to find her. I had to wait a few days, but it was absolutely hilarious when they brought her back a third time. The begging, the crying, it really did it for me. She even had snot running down her face like a little kid. My abilities didn't work, seeing as how I'd already hurt her, but I learned something new that time. If you're considered the leader of a community, you can control if someone ties their spawn point to your location. You see, when she came back that third time, all the fight had gone out of her. She was offering anything, literally begging to swallow my cum and promising that she would serve me forever. When she said that, the universe took it as a request to make the Knoll's village her rebirth point. I got the notification at the same time she did, but mine said that because I was the leader of the location, she could only do so if I allowed it. I don't know which one of us was more surprised. I am sure which one of us was happiest, though, he finished with a laugh. It took a few hours of torture to make her do it, but cutting off someone's hands and tits, then rubbing the stumps with salt will make them agree to anything. After that, it was so much easier. I had some more fun with her first, but then I just cut her head off. I got 7 points that time, man. He sighed happily. I had to wait a week that time for her to come back, but also got to see it for the first time, as did the gnolls. This rent appeared in the middle of the tribe, and you could see pure chaos energy through it. When she fell through and landed at my feet, the gnolls thought I had summoned her back with some kind of powerful magic. It really cemented my control over the tribe, let me tell you. This world is full of superstitious savages, man, he told Richter, shaking his head. We went through the same dance again. No, no, please don't. Why? Please, I'm begging you. Blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I was a bit disappointed by her performance. The point is, and this is you learning a little something about me, I always loved history. That's why I decided to be a little creative that time. I crucified her. As with every other atrocity He-Man had admitted to, he just sounded a bit gleeful as he talked about it. I had always been curious about it, you see. It never sat right with me that literally everyone on Earth had heard about crucifixion. They talked about it in churches around the world, but no one had done it in centuries. Now, you might be asking why this matters, so I'll give you a little backstory. Back home, I was, shall we say, in the information-gathering business. In the course of my duties and in service to my government, I'd seen people killed in all manner of ways. But even I had never seen a crucifixion. One summer, I even filled out a request, in triplicate, asking my superior if I could do it just once. I told him it would really make people fear our security services. We would get medieval, as you homies used to say, He-Man joked, with an evil smile on his face. He shook his head a few seconds later. Can you believe that he refused my request? He even called me an animal. Can you believe that? Me! After I murdered him, I asked his replacement if I could do it on another prisoner, and he called me an animal too. He-Man sighed heavily. I can admit that I'm a bit headstrong, but even I will listen. Seeing as how they both said the same thing, I figured maybe they were right. I'm a big enough man to admit that sometimes my zeal for exploration and learning can get the best of me. I let it go. I never stopped being curious, though. I mean, if it was a good enough way to kill Jesus, it should be good enough for anyone, right? He declared, shaking his finger in the air. Just seemed a little disrespectful to not keep up the tradition, and I'm all about tradition. When life presented me with this gorgeous woman, who I could not only crucify but then interview about the experience afterwards, well, it just seemed like a match made in heaven. I had the gnolls get to work building the cross. Finding that much wood underground was not easy, let me tell you. But we got it built, then got her up there. There was a complication at first. I'd had the gnolls nail her to the cross, but she was able to rip her hands free. She almost died from blood loss. He-Man rolled his eyes. It was insanely annoying. After I got her healed, we tied her up, and that worked much better. When we finally got it right, I wanted to see what would happen. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited. He-Man shook his head in bemusement. I definitely figured out why people don't crucify anymore. It takes forever, and it is so boring. True, she screamed her head off when her shoulders finally dislocated, but she lost consciousness from pain not too long after that. Richter, he placed a hand on his captive's shoulder in commiseration. It was a total letdown. I couldn't even wait till the end. I just sliced her open and let her guts fall to the floor. He shook his head in remembrance, but then he smiled. Don't worry, man. There's a happy ending to this story. I got 20 chaos points that time. The rewards are doubled when you kill them a final time. He was almost giddy as he related the experience. Richter sat there, wrapped in pain and listening to the disgusting confessions. All he could do was seethe and watch the timer on his paralysis debuff count down second by second. The whole time he had listened to He-Man prattle on, he had prayed and begged for time to move faster, but he knew the other Chaos Seed wouldn't allow that. He couldn't even use the Shadow Ring as helpless as he was. He-Man was going to kill him, but Hisako had told him that the monsters of the Shadow Realm might corrupt his very soul. Richter didn't know why He-Man was playing with him before the end, but he had no doubt that the end was coming. He-Man sighed again, but it was a sigh of contentment. I was, of course, upset that my toy was gone, but I adopted a new policy towards the prisoners that the gnolls brought in. I had them kept in separate cages and pretended to be one of them until I could be sure they weren't Chaos Seeds. I was disappointed again and again, but one day it happened. I found another one. This time, he was a beastkin. Some sort of mole. Extremely ugly, but apparently there are entire tribes of the disgusting creatures living underground. Once I identified him, all it took was a little bit of theater to have him bind his spawn point to the camp. I convinced him that I had befriended some of the gnolls, and that they would let us out if we proved our loyalty by fighting for them. It wasn't the best story I had ever come up with, but I had the gnolls torture a few prisoners to death in front of him. That little show really put the man's choices into perspective. He was happy to do and try anything that would keep that from happening to him. He-Man chuckled at his own cleverness. After he agreed to fight, I convinced him to bind his spawn point to the Knoll's village so that we could find each other if the worst happened. After all, his voice changed to one of absolute sincerity. We're all in this together. He kept his earnest expression for a second before he started laughing. The sound was thick with malice. After that, it was party time again! I found out Arvin, that was his name by the way, had already died once before. I was so happy to find out that just like the elf bitch, every time he was reborn, he brought more chaos points back with him. It also took longer for him to come back each time, but it was worth the wait. He had 5 lives total, and ended up netting me 40 points. God, each time was better than the last. He was a bit off that last time, but it didn't change the high. After poor Arvin went bye-bye, I was actually planning to leave the Null tribe. No other Chaos Seeds had shown up for a month, and Daddy needed his medicine. He finished with a laugh. Then the goblins attacked. I'll admit I was a bit bothered by that at first, but it wasn't hard to be taken prisoner rather than be killed. All I had to do was slaughter most of the slaves and then hide with the few that were left. They were all new and didn't know anything about me. The goblins were so irritated that 50 of the slaves were dead that they almost had no choice but to take the 4 of us that were left alive. After I was put with the other captives, I realized what an opportunity I'd been given. I talked to everyone and used my abilities to make them love me. It only took 2 weeks before I found my next Chaos Seed. I don't remember his name, but he clearly had a hard time of it. When I bashed the back of his head in with a rock, he gave me 14 points, and it was his last life. You know, I haven't really been able to find any pattern in the total number of lives each of us is given, but I suppose that might just be implied in the name. Chaos Seed, am I right? He-Man kept prattling on for a bit, before once more picking up the water skin. The throbbing burn in Richter's jaw turned into a supernova when he grabbed Richter's jaw again. He forced more poison down his captive's throat, increasing the paralysis timer by more than 5 minutes this time. Richter lost consciousness and was reawakened to the sensation of being slapped. Richter's head was clouded for a few moments, but then he thought he heard He-Man mutter something like, "Taking forever." He-Man looked at him with a resigned expression. Then he reached into the cubby again and drew out a dagger housed in a simple steel sheath. Turning back to Richter, he said, "Might as well finish my story. Like I was saying, I was having a great time murdering any Chaos Seed I could find. All after learning their spawn points, of course. I even made enough friends that I got them to camp those positions and bring me anyone that respawned. I gained over 350 Chaos points and had a grand time doing it. I also spent some time gaining the trust of my goblin captors, but I was moved from place to place every few weeks, so I never gained enough relationship ranks to actually take over and escape. Not that I really wanted to. It certainly didn't help that my relationship with every goblin started in the red, usually at enmity or loathing. It was taking me weeks to even get a neutral rank." He shook his head. "As great as getting all those chaos points was, I found out that I hated mining. I mean, I really hate it. You have no idea how many blisters I got swinging a pick at a wall of fucking rock." He sighed. It was very frustrating. At least it was, until they took me to that hidden valley. They had us digging in that one place for more than a month. I had no idea why, but I was extremely happy that I was finally able to make serious relationship headway with one of the goblin slave masters. I tell you, Richter, when they finally took me down that tunnel and showed me the chaotic shard, my life changed. Did yours? Richter couldn't answer, of course, and he wouldn't have given He-Man the satisfaction if he could, but in his heart, he knew the answer was yes. The chaotic shard was the most beautiful and wondrous thing he'd seen in either of his two lives. "You don't need to say anything. I know you felt the same way," He-Man told him. For the first time, there was no mockery or humor in his tone. Instead, his voice was tight with controlled emotion. "I saw that wonder, that piece of the divine, and knew it was my destiny to claim it. I just needed a few more days to increase my relationship with the goblins until they would let me venture down the hole to touch it. After all those nights spent in darkness, after the beatings and stench and pain and death, I had not only found my purpose, but it was within my grasp." He looked at Richter with an expression of utter hate and righteous indignation. "And you." The word lay thick on his tongue, like the coarsest sand. "Stole it from me." In that moment of hate, the unstable Chaos Seed almost killed Richter. He held the dagger in his hand high above his head, ready to strike and end his victim's life. He stood there for long moments, staring down with righteous indignation before regaining control of himself. His hand lowered, and he squatted down so he could look directly into Richter's ruined eyes. Heman's words came fast and clipped, like he was listing the irrefutable proof of Richter's sins. I know you claimed the shard, though you never admitted it. I'm almost positive that there are no other chaos seeds in your village, and the few that were in the valley with me had already been dealt with. I don't know what protected it, but I do know several goblins and one troll died trying to get close. It could only have been another chaos seed that took the shard. It could only have been you. You stole from me, Lord Richter. And for that, I'm going to do more than just kill you. I'm going to take as many of your lives as I can. He-Man looked around, remarking, I had hoped it would have happened already, but I suppose alive or dead you can serve the same purpose. Before I kill you, I will give you a thank you, a warning, and a gift. The thank you is for giving me access to the Sea of Chaos. Even though you did it by being selfish and stealing my birthright, you still ushered in the new age. Our age. The age of chaos. It helped me understand part of my purpose. It let me finally use my chaos points. That is how I got that wonderful paralysis poison, and how I bought my hidden cupboard that I saw you were so impressed with. It's also how I got this dagger. Richter heard the sound of a blade clearing a sheath.
Master! Master! Master!
She screamed to him. The relief in her voice at having been able to reestablish contact was stark and profound. Ever since reaching Cybond level 3, they could sense if one another was in danger, but he couldn't give her any information until she had flown close enough for them to communicate. Now that she had, he could send her images. His traveler's map allowed him to have a mini-map in the corner of his vision, and she could access the same information he could. A mental replay of his morning was all she needed to hone in on his general position. She processed the information and promised him,
I am coming, Master. I'm coming. Just hold on.
Her voice was thick with sadness and broiling with anger, but all Richter felt was pain, joy, and a resigned sadness. Alma had come, but in his heart, Richter feared she had found him too late. He-Man had unsheathed his blade, and the death stroke couldn't be far away. He-Man knelt down and rested a hand on Richter's shoulder. Blinded and helpless, he could just imagine his tormentor bracing with his left while a blade hung poised to plunge into his heart with the man's right. When He-Man spoke again, his voice was soft, even reverent.
In these last moments, perhaps your last moments in the land or any world, I will give you the warning I promised. If you are reborn, do not follow me. I am not killing you with just any blade. This is a chaotic dagger that will claim this life and one more rebirth if you have one to spare. I have never met another chaos seed who had more than 5 lives. I know you have already died twice, so if you're lucky, and it seems that you are, then you will be reborn. But it could very well be your final life. You should be reborn in less than a month if you are, and you can live that life however you see fit. That is my gift to you. Stay in your shitty forest village, and I will leave you alone. If you come after me, though, if I ever see your ugly black face again, I will snatch away whatever life you have left. I will end you.
Richter felt He-Man's weight shift, and he knew that in a bare second, the Chaos Blade would enter his body and maybe sever his mortal coil for the last time. His body calmed in acceptance of what was to come, and in that moment, he heard the sweetest sound he'd ever heard.
Master, I am here!
Her words devolved into a scream of pure pain. In that moment, Richter heard the worst sound he'd ever heard. Through her eyes, he finally learned what the zzt sound had been after he had first been poisoned. He saw a being made of lightning attacking his familiar. She dropped to the ground and was raked by claws of pure energy. Only her 50% resistance to air creatures and attacks kept the damage from being almost instantly fatal. Then he heard He-Man laugh.
At last! He laughed. At last! This is what I've been waiting for!
I had no intention of letting your little dragon chase me through the forest.
He gave an order, and the lightning demon, for that was what it was, a minor demon summoned by a scroll he had purchased from the Sea of Chaos, stopped its attack. Alma lay on the ground, one wing half severed and blood leaking from her body. Richter cried out to her with his mind, but all she could manage was a weak,
"Master."
He-Man leered at Richter.
"I am so happy she finally made her way here. I desperately wanted you to know that she was dead before I killed you."
Even with his jaw fractured, Richter managed a strained, rage-filled groan.
"What?"
He-Man asked, mocking him.
"Did you think that I was a cartoon villain that just couldn't bring himself to kill you until I revealed my entire backstory and evil plan? No, you fool! You were bait! You see, my little minion," he gestured to the lightning demon, "can't travel far from where it was summoned, and I didn't like my chances of making it through the forest with your flying rat hunting me. I just had to hope that after I used the scroll, she would come to your rescue if I dragged this out long enough."
He walked over to Alma and stomped down on the dying dragonling's remaining wing. Her delicate bones crunched and she screamed, a sound Richter had never heard her make before. He willed his body to move. He had to reach her. He couldn't let her be killed. The universe didn't care about what he had to do. All he could do was lay on the ground impotently, unable to rise.
"You see," the other Chaos Seed continued happily, "now I not only don't have to worry about this fucking thing hunting me down, but I have the opportunity to teach you a real lesson. I know that in stories, men are always driven to seek revenge for the death of a wife or a child. In the real world, though, that just isn't how it works. On Earth, I ordered the deaths of many wives, many children. And what I found is that if you wound a man not just in his body, but in his soul, then you can break him. That pain, that hurt, cuts so deep that he cannot face it. That is how you break a man. That is how I'm going to break you. Remember this moment, Lord Richter, because if you ever come after me, I will kill everyone you have ever loved in this world. I will use my abilities to raise armies. I will slaughter every man and woman in your village, and I will blind every child before selling them into slavery. I will burn the very heart out of you." His voice was deadly with intent. "Like so." Through Alma's eyes, he saw He-Man inhale to give an order to the lightning demon, an order that would end Alma's life. Richter did the only thing he could think to do. He retreated into his mindscape. The time shift gave him seconds to think, seconds that he could do nothing with except call out to Alma in pain and fear for her life. He searched his mindscape, looking for her familiar winged form until he saw her scaled body lying in a field outside of his mind's village. Literally, quick as thought, he ran to her crumpled form. The wounds in her physical body did not show, but the pain and anguish she had suffered had sapped her will to move. "What can I do?"
he cried while holding her beautiful face.
"What can I do?"
If only he could get to her body. If only they could bond. Even as he pleaded with her for an answer, he saw He-Man finish his command in the real world, and the lightning demon prepare to deliver the killing blow. His very being cried out, the thought of her death causing a pain greater than he had ever experienced. It echoed across the dimensions of his soul. His cry was answered. Her voice echoed, not in his head, but in his heart. For the first time, he understood the true connection of a soul familiar. She was never truly apart from him, for everything that they were or ever could be was intertwined on the deepest level imaginable. Her words resonated in his soul and spoke the fundamental truth of their being.
"You are not alone."
In that space between seconds, he understood. Through her eyes, he saw himself lying against a tree, paralyzed and beaten. Despite all that, he reached for her, not outside of himself, through the distance of space, but instead inside of himself, to the part of his soul that was also her. The Meseji has begun. Time froze and beams of blue-white light shot from Alma's eyes into Richter's ruined orbs. Faster than even the lightning demon could react, the dragonling's ruined body changed into pure mental energy and was absorbed by her master. Their experiences, thoughts, and powers became as one and yet were still distinct. To He-Man, the process appeared instantaneous, but to Richter and Alma, they shared long moments of love and companionship, enough to fill a lifetime. A prompt appeared and was immediately absorbed by their minds. Congratulations, you have deepened your union with your soul familiar. As such, you have developed the following capabilities. You may now find one another over vast distances. Never will you be truly lost to one another. The Meseji can now occur if you are within eye contact and within 100 yards of one another. Over time, this distance may grow. At times when either of you are near death, when the veil between this world and the next are thinned, you may speak the truth of souls. Neither Richter nor Alma understood half of what the prompt meant, but it didn't matter, because there was one other notification that changed everything. Know this, mind, body, and soul are distinct, but always joined. Through the Meseji, each of you become pure mental energy for a time between moments. As such, your dragon form will have full health no matter the state of your human body. Be warned, resuming your individual forms will restore any prior injuries. Continue to push the limits of your power, young master. It is the only way to learn your potential. Both prompts were absorbed and processed instantly by the method Randolphus had taught him. Even if they hadn't had the information, Richter and Alma would have known they were healed due to the lack of pain and the fact that Richter could move his jaw again. Even more importantly, his eyes had been completely restored and the change in his head's shape shifted the blindfold. He could see. Wasting no time, he inhaled deeply, even as He-Man turned his head from where Alma had disappeared to where Richter still lay. The other Chaos Seed only had time to widen his eyes, either in fear or rage, but nothing else before Richter breathed glass flame. Near invisible fire shot from Richter's mouth in a cone-shaped attack. The flame washed over He-Man, charring his white skin to black in an instant. In a moment of rare cosmic justice, he was blinded just as he had blinded Richter. The lightning demon threw its body between Richter and its master, following the simple command He-Man had given it to protect him from any harm. Though its body was immune to physical damage and almost completely immune to heat, not even the demon could withstand the savagery of dragon fire. It lasted for 6 seconds, a living shield to protect He-Man's now collapsed form, before dying with a wail almost too high-pitched to be heard. Even though the cost was its life, the demon had accomplished its goal to preserve its master as the 7-second time limit on Richter's attack elapsed. Even though the damage He-Man had inflicted on Richter had healed, he still remained paralyzed as the poison coursed through his body. Another thing Richter learned in the following minute was the naturally high resistance most dragons had to poison. The counter on his paralysis icon plummeted, and before long, he could stand once more. The whole time he had sat against the tree, he had watched He-Man's smoking figure. Analyze told him that the man was still alive. If the torturer had somehow managed to weather the 1 second he'd been exposed to glass flame, Meseji form or not, Richter would still have been helpless. The chaotic dagger still lay next to the man's body, the exposed gray blade flashing with an internal swirling light. By the time Richter was back on his feet, though, He-Man still hadn't moved. Powerful though the other Chaos Seed's abilities were, he was still only a level 7 mortal. The invisible fire of Richter's attack had triggered a cascade of cytokines and neurotransmitters, sending him into shock. His heart rate had increased to over 200 beats a minute as it tried to compensate for the drop in blood pressure. Blood was shunted away from the periphery of his body and towards his internal organs in a vain attempt to keep a failing system running. His body was attempting an impossible feat. Even if blood loss and massive tissue trauma could be survived, He-Man had screamed while he'd burned. His open mouth had provided a perfect channel for the flames washing over him. In addition to his eyes having melted, his throat had been seared and charred. Even if all of his other wounds would heal, He-Man would still not be able to breathe properly. In another show of karmic balance, he would slowly suffocate as the carbon dioxide built in his blood and his lungs filled with fluid, a crucifixion death without the crucifix. The cold stare in Richter's eyes as he stood over the man left no doubt that neither scenario would be how He-Man finally died. Analyze showed that He-Man had less than 20 health left, and something was making his remaining HP trickle away. Richter grinned, revealing his sharp teeth. "Not yet," he hissed. Richter picked up the chaotic dagger. "You have found chaotic dagger. Attack plus 14. Durability 1,000 of 1,000. Item class, rare. Quality, exquisite. Weight, 1.2 kilograms. Traits. Once unsheathed, it will disappear in 24 hours. If claiming the life of a Chaos Seed, it will not only end their current life, but also an additional one of their respawns. Your victim's respawn time will be doubled based on their new respawn count." Looking at He-Man's ruined body, he cast Weak Slow Heal, replenishing the man's health by 45 points over the next 60 seconds. He smiled again when he thought about how he would be taking that health right back in very short order. First, though, he wanted to know what the other Chaos Seed had stashed away. If there was good stuff in there, Richter didn't want to risk that it might disappear when he killed He-Man in a few minutes. The invisible door was still open in the air. The Meseji dragon waved his taloned arm in the space around the open cubby, but he couldn't feel the door or any exterior sides of the cupboard. Looking past the plane of the compartment didn't show anything either. It was only visible from one side. Curiosity now at least partially satisfied, Richter looked to see what items He-Man had stored. His sharp-toothed smile grew. The other Chaos Seed had been busy. "You have found Venom of Paul's Cobra. Item quality unusual. Durability 7 of 7. Weight 0.8 kilograms. Traits. The potent venom of a Paul's Cobra will paralyze targets for 30 seconds to 1 minute if applied to a weapon, and 4 to 9 minutes if ingested. Doses 2 of 4. "You have found Emerald Ring with White Gold Band. Jewelry class uncommon. Jewelry quality well-crafted. Gem clarity unknown. Carats unknown. Durability 14 of 14. Weight 0.5 kilograms. The ring wasn't magical, but the gem was the size of his thumbnail. He also didn't have a jeweling skill high enough to know its exact clarity or how many carats it was, but Richter was pretty sure it was expensive. Randy should be happy about that, he thought. There were also several pouches, each of which had a pleasant clinking sound. "You have found pouch. Durability 6 of 7. Weight 2.1 kilograms. Contents. 9 gold weights. 12 silver weights. You have found pouch. Durability 4 of 8. Weight 1.3 kilograms. Contents. 15 gold bands. 4 silver bands. 8 copper bands. You have found pouch. Durability 5 of 6. Weight 0.8 kilograms. Contents. 97 gold crowns. You have found pouch. Durability 3 of 7. Weight 0.7 kilograms. Contents 96 silver marks. You have found pouch. Durability 2 of 5. Weight 0.5 kilograms. Contents 471 copper shills. If Richter had to guess, this was the sum wealth of the Knoll tribe and whomever else He-Man had been able to steal from since coming to the land. 10 copper shills made 1 silver mark, and 10 marks made a gold crown. With each weight being worth 25 coins and each band being worth 10, he had just found over 550 gold crowns. He now saw why He-Man had probably been so attracted to the idea of a hidden storage space that would always stay with him. It must have been a pain and a half to hide such treasures, especially in slave-like conditions. His abilities had most likely helped him create a gang with relative ease, but still, it couldn't have been fun. That thought made Richter feel all warm and gooey inside, almost as much as stealing every single one of He-Man's possessions. He started to turn back towards He-Man's charred form when he had an absolutely wonderful idea. Taking what he needed from his bag, he jotted down a short note and placed it on the bottom shelf. Richter put all He-Man's possessions into his bag of holding, except for the large pouch of coppers. That he upended, keeping the brown leather container in his hand. Then, making sure that He-Man hadn't revived enough to know what was happening, he took out a small canister, placed it in the pouch, and grabbed copper coins to pad the sides. On a cursory glance, it would look exactly the same. Richter used a small length of wire to attach the mechanism to the mouth of the pouch. With an evil grin, he placed the coin purse back in the cubby right next to his letter. With all of that done, he turned back to He-Man, the chaotic dagger clenched tightly in his taloned fist. The time for games had passed. The time for blood had come. Richter had cleared out the cubby and placed his own little gift inside in under 2 minutes. His healing spell had run its course, restoring almost half of He-Man's life, but it was continuing to trickle away. As Richter stared down at his torturer, the man that would have stolen lives away from him, he experienced a particular mix of thoughts. The first was that he should keep the man alive, that he should take him back to the village, hope to find Hisako or Sumiko in time to heal him, and then have Randolphus use some of his counterintelligence techniques to get more information from the Chaos Seed. Richter was fairly certain He-Man would break under the tender ministrations of the spy's knives. He could even persuade him to bind his spawn point back at the village. After that, he could farm the man for chaos points until he died a final death. It was no more than he deserved. Richter didn't feel any moral compunction against torture. Not with this rapist piece of shit. In all honesty, he didn't feel too bad about it in general if it was used against those that would harm him or his people. He'd barely been in the land a week when he'd tortured a goblin with Scion. He hadn't really felt too squeamish, even when he'd been back on Earth. One of his favorite shows had been called Firefly. It had only run for one season, and it was way before his time, but it had still made a serious impact on his life. One of the lines that had always resonated was when the captain, Malcolm Reynolds, had simply stated, "I look out for me and mine. That don't include you, lest I conjure it does." That simple statement had always seemed to cut through the whining and bullshit of right and wrong. You take care of your family. Don't cause ill or harm those who can't defend themselves. But if anyone sets themselves against you, God help them, because he wouldn't. Living in the land had only further cemented all of that as core principles of his being. Even though he had no problem killing this man over and over, he also still refused to be led around by his emotions. Richter was still furious, so angry that he was nearly out of control, in fact, and that made him pause and think. He would love to make He-Man's last days in this existence a macabre nightmare, but Richter was also practical. One, he only had a few minutes left before the Meseji elapsed. As soon as that happened, his eyes and mouth would be ruined again. It was vital that he make it back to the village before that happened. He also wasn't foolish enough to think that he could kill He-Man multiple times in secret. If there was one thing he had learned since becoming a lord, it was that there were consequences to how his people felt. This piece of shit wasn't worth losing ranks in the village's morale or loyalty. Even more important, he wasn't sure just how many of his people had been infected by He-Man's abilities. He couldn't risk a revolt if He-Man had managed to sway the hearts and minds of any of his people. No. The man couldn't be allowed to return to the village. He had to be dealt with now, but first, Richter had his own message to deliver. He turned He-Man over. The man's breaths were coming in short gasps, and every section of his face was either charred black or blistered red. One eye was just gone, along with the eyelid. Richter could see the bone of the eye's socket, also scorched black by his glass flame attack. The other eye was completely bloodshot, and the sclera had turned milky, but the structure remained more or less intact. All of the hair was gone from Heman's face, and part of his scalp had been burned away to the skull. The extra durability damage Richter's breath attack caused had literally made the leather armor He-Man was wearing char and turn to dust. Just the act of moving him had made the ashes fall away, 328 points of durability damage having occurred in just the 1 second the man had been exposed before his summoned demon had blocked the rest of the attack. Alma and her master listened to him wheeze for a few seconds. Small bubbles of blood formed and popped on his ruined lips, and it was clear that He-Man did not have much time left in this life. Richter watched him slowly die and came to a decision. The piece of shit hadn't suffered enough. The Chaos Seed dual cast minor slow heal. His mana dropped by 700 points all at once, but it let him restore all of He-Man's health points. At least as many HPs as the man's ruined body allowed to be restored. The other Chaos Seed's max health had been reset from 130 down to 92 to account for the portions of his body that had been burned away, never to return. The healing magic could not heal the worst of the man's internal injuries either. It also could not replace the epidermis or basement membranes of his skin, so any burned area became shiny and smooth like baby oil gleaming in the sun. The ruin of his throat tightened as scar tissue formed all at once. Much more advanced life magic would be needed to bring He-Man back to full health, but Richter had already known his spell would not fully restore his foe. He was still more than happy with the results. His soul cheered as He-Man came back to consciousness with a ragged gasp and strangled cry of pain. "That's right, sunshine," Richter hissed at him, smiling his sharp-toothed smile. "I was raised to show the proper respect. Since you went out of your way to give me a thank you, a warning, and a gift, I figured I'd do the same for you before I snatch the life right out of you. First, thank you for sharing that information. I had been wondering about a lot of that. Also, thank you for all the gold." Even blinded and in agony, He-Man's face screwed up in anger. If nothing else, he wasn't a total coward. The Chaos Seed tried to spit and curse Richter, but his ruined throat would not allow either. That didn't mean the Enchanter would let such insolence pass. "No, no, we can't have that," Richter tutted. Reaching down with his free hand, he slowly pushed his taloned hand into the soft, newly healed flesh of He-Man's chest. The pink skin parted easily, and red blood began to pool and run from all 5 points that Richter had pierced. A new scream ripped from He-Man's throat, louder than the last, despite the scar tissue caging his vocal cords. Richter kept his fingers in the man's chest, but stopped moving his talons. The other Chaos Seed stopped wailing half a minute later, and this time when he looked back, the only thing in his gaze was pain and fear. "That's better," Richter smiled anew. "Back home, we would say, fix your face or I'll fix it for you. But in this case," the Chaos Seed chuckled, "I think we both know that ship has sailed. I also don't think we have much time left together, since your health is still falling. So let me give you your warning." He moved close enough that he could have snapped his reptilian jaws shut on the other Chaos Seed's face if he'd chosen to do so. "I do not care who you were back on Earth. I do not care what you think you are owed. I do not care how mad you will be if you are ever reborn. My warning is not the same as yours. I'm not telling you that if you stay away, then I will let you be. I'm not telling you to never come back. I'm telling you that it doesn't matter if you do. My warning is that you should stay dead. If you are reborn, I will come for you. One day, in this long existence we have ahead of us, I will find you again, and I will feed your soul to the worst demon I can find. Now drink." Richter forced one of Tabia's new health elixirs into He-Man's mouth, going so far as to force the vial down his throat so it would all be swallowed. The potion would heal 451 points of damage over the next 16 seconds. That was how much pain Richter could inflict before the other man died, and he planned to use every point. Richter dug his fingers into He-Man's chest, down to the second knuckle, eliciting another wave of pleading howls. If the half-gnome was hoping to appeal to the mercy in Richter's heart, though, he was left disappointed. There was no mercy. There was no heart. Instead, Richter gave him the promised gift. Time. The dragon leaned over He-Man's face, at long last establishing a mental connection. In the last seconds of his life, Richter stared into his one milky eye. It might be blinded in the real world, but it still provided the conduit needed to draw him into mental combat and prolong his anguish as much as the time-dilating effects of the psychic battle would allow. He-Man's mindscape appeared, with no mental defenses whatsoever. It was an open grassland dotted here and there with ghost-like figures. Instinctively, Richter knew these were He-Man's memories of his many victims, stuck in a perpetual loop of suffering for the psychopath's amusement. Even if He-Man had been in a castle, it would not have protected him from Alma's wrath. With a savage roar, the great Dane-sized dragonling sped from Richter's territory to begin savaging the mind of the man that had dared to steal her master from her. He-Man's avatar tried to run, letting loose a squeal of animal fear, but there was no escape. She took him to the ground and tore long furrows in his consciousness with her claws. Red blood began to stain the ground of his mindscape. Richter continued to stare down at He-Man's screaming body in the real world, even as he watched the man's psychic avatar howl as Alma pulled it apart. The dragonling was in no mood to be merciful and began by tearing He-Man's leg off. Then she began eating him, starting at his crotch. She snapped and tore his manhood free, the bloody morsel sliding down her gullet before she took another bite from his stomach. A hearty laugh began in her master's throat, half madness and half heartless evil. Watching the unrestrained violence, something stirred in the hidden depths of Richter's soul. A monster that had been bound and chained deep within him his entire life rattled its cage and dreamed of being free. Richter wasn't consciously aware of any of that. The entire time that he had enjoyed He-Man's mental and physical torture, the dragon Chaos Seed had never forgotten himself. With clinical precision, in the last seconds of his foe's life, he slid the tip of the chaotic dagger into the man's side. Even with the health potion quickly repairing damage, it could not keep up with the havoc Richter's talons were wreaking on He-Man's internal organs. The furious lord made sure never to push too hard or too fast and risk his victim dying before he wanted, but short of that, he brought a hellscape to the land in the form of He-Man's ruined flesh. Too soon, Richter knew his fun was coming to an end. He gave an order to Alma, who abandoned her own sport and stared into He-Man's face. The man's body had lapsed into unconsciousness, but his mind had no such escape, caught in the mindscape. He-Man looked up at her in utter terror, and this man, who had thought he was a predator, learned what it truly meant to be prey. Richter's own avatar had walked up during Alma's assault and now looked down at the armless, legless, cockless avatar of his enemy. Richter's smile was a mirror in time, the same heartless expression He-Man had worn himself at the start of their pain-filled drama. His avatar squatted down, putting a hand behind the helpless man's head and lifting it until their mental eyes met. "Remember, if you wake up and you still feel raw about what happened here today," his voice was deadly with promise, "I'll be waiting." Not caring what He-Man might say in response, Richter just dropped the mutilated body and stood, giving a simple command: "Finish it." A smile on her draconian face, Alma's avatar sucked in a deep breath, then exhaled near-invisible flames. She redoubled her efforts, and the new psychic attack burned away both the top half of his avatar and his conscious mind. With only 5 health remaining in He-Man's body in the real world, Richter triggered Brain Drain, The talons plunged into the other Chaos Seed's chest, providing the conduit needed for the special attack. He-Man's last health drained away, and his mindscape vanished, leaving only Richter's. Alma's avatar flew into the air, roaring her triumph. The body of Richter's enemy exhaled its last breath in real life, and the light left his eyes. The forest was quiet. Even the small creatures hiding in their burrows and bracken were struck silent by the violence and hate that had just polluted their home. The chaotic dagger flashed with a hungry gray light before winking out of existence. The only remaining evidence that it had ever existed was the small hole it had made in Heman's side. A torrent of prompts appeared in Richter's vision, but he ignored all of that, his attention completely occupied by the incredible feeling coursing through his body. Gray chaos energy flashed from He-Man and into Richter all at once. It was completely different from the sense of fulfillment he experienced when he had absorbed the chaotic shard and particle. That energy had felt raw and wild, but the power he had just taken from the other chaos seed felt refined. "Damn," Richter intoned slowly, closing his eyes in near ecstasy. "That does feel good." The taking of He-Man's chaos points had distracted him for a moment, but he didn't forget the damage that would be revisited upon his body as soon as the Meseji ran its course. Before he could move, though, his attention was drawn back to his mindscape. The remains of He-Man's avatar had begun to glow with blue-white light that rose in thin streams. In seconds, they had formed a pyramid of memory, brain drain having captured a poignant moment in the man's life. Richter looked at it in fascination, his curiosity even stronger than the bloodlust that had filled him only seconds before. He had never seen the process of a memory being captured before. All he had time for was that feeling of fascination before a gray rent appeared in the center of the memory pyramid. He did not know it, but it was the same tear in reality that always appeared when a chaos seed was reborn. It was the doorway to the realm of chaos. A great wind appeared a moment later, a sucking force thousands of times stronger than a tornado, which picked up Richter's avatar and pulled it through the rent in reality. Alma cried out for her master, but the tear closed, taking with it any hope that she had to follow. Chapter 93, Retained Memory. Richter looked around. Everything was a gray that was at once both featureless and filled with infinite variation. He thought he might be moving, but then he was sure he was standing still. There was nothing. Then he was standing in a sea of tables. Strapped to every table was a person. Some were screaming, some were laughing. Many stared upward, unblinking, their chests slowly rising and falling. There was no orientation, but somehow everywhere was up. Richter looked around, screaming as loud as a mouse's whisper and dancing with glee. "I'm losing my mind," he commented, as panicked as a summer day's eclipse. "I know," another version of himself answered, "but at least we're better off than that guy." They both looked over at a Richter strapped to a table. He turned his head and smiled with a mouthful of candy scorpions, stinging him again and again until he died of diabetes and was reborn as a phoenix made of ice and plasma. The entire process lasted the same length of time that it took a man to forget an inconceivable thought. Another Richter agreed as he flew off on bat wings. "Yeah, it could always be worse. You know, I always thought you were cute," second Richter told him, running a finger slowly down his chin. They grew old together, lived a life of joy, but could never agree if the answer really was 42. When Richter died, the tombstone said, "He's Richter," mostly because they ran out of money and the letters were $20 each and apostrophes were free. "No!" Richter screamed, squeezing his head to keep the cosmos inside contained. The effort was futile.
"What is this?"
A voice as large as a universe boomed. A spotlight fell from above, and a fetus that would one day be named James, Silk, Richter, floated in the middle of it, surrounded by seven faces the size of fractal realities. The entire septet regarded the interloper that had defiled their realm.
Sacrilege!
One face boomed. Two more agreed, but four did not.
I recognize what this